Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
Coming up on NBA Today, the Lakers and Clippers early season woes. They continued last night. How concerned should we be for both Los Angeles teams? Well, Big Perk, he has some big thoughts on that one. And sticking in the West, the reigning champs, they look poised for a repeat this season. But who is the biggest threat to their throne? We're going to make our picks. Plus, the 76ers, they made a statement last night against the Celtics. Have they proved that they are championship contenders? NBA Today starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today. He is NBA champion Kendrick Perkins. He is our senior writer, Brian Windhorst.
Wendy.
You want a title? I've never heard that before.
I mean, you know, I try to stay humble about it.
He's low-key about it. His Celtics, they were in action last night. 14 games on the slate. They did not disappoint. I mean, we had a showdown, right, between the last two NBA champions, the top two teams in the East. They went toe-to-toe. Giannis was ejected. Victor was in the garden. But after Dylan Brooks' comments leading up to that matchup with the Lakers, we need to begin our show in Houston because all eyes were on LeBron James and Dylan Brooks. And I do mean all eyes on LeBron James. LeBron getting his warm-ups in. But Dylan Brooks, we had to put a clock on his stare down here. 5 seconds, 6 seconds, 7 seconds, presumably just lasers at LeBron James ahead of this matchup. And you know what, Brian? I don't know what Mojo Jojo was going on, but it paid off.
It helps to know that AD's not going to be in the lineup.
Anthony Davis not in the lineup. The stare down continues. But this is what we mean when we talk about this matchup, Perk.
Oh, absolutely. Look, fighting them for a position, not backing down. But again, look, LeBron trying to quick spin. But this is what Dylan Brooks do. Again, Memphis is missing this from Dylan Brooks. And look at this right here.
The stare down, it continues.
Well, I had to work yesterday because I would have been at this game. I would have went to this game yesterday.
This is the kind of stuff that, you know, Garnett used to do with LeBron too, man. That's the same book.
In addition to the stare down analysis, the Lakers were outscored by 13 points in the first quarter. So we're going to go ahead here. 6:26 left. The turnovers, they continued.
You'd have left early, Perk, because this game was done early.
It was certainly done early. And Dylan Brooks is loving it. He was all over LeBron James last night. The Rockets roll 128-94. Now, I mentioned the first quarter. The Lakers, they've now been outscored by 74 points in first quarters. That is the worst through eight games in NBA history. They've also been outscored by 91 second chance points, which is the worst differential through eight games in the last 25 seasons. Let's take a listen to LeBron James after the game.
I mean, we can't build cohesion if we don't have our unit. That's simple. We're very depleted in the injury side. So,
you know, eight games in, and obviously, again, juggling different lineups, different people, you know, seems like we have one person that's coming off an injury and then someone else going in on the inactive list. So we just got to juggle all that. Like, I'm not discouraged or anything because we haven't been whole all year.
All right, Darvin Ham making it clear they're not looking for any excuses. They're not looking for any sympathy here. But out for the Lakers, Davis, Vanderbilt, Vincent, Hayes, and Hood Schifino yesterday. Is this just a matter of health, or is there something bigger going on here, Perk?
No, it's something bigger. And to be honest with you, I'm tired of the complaining from the Lakers, and I'm also tired of the excuses. When we talked about what Rob Pelinka this offseason, we addressed that, you know, the depth that he added, right? And you add depth for an 82-game season because you don't know the status of, for us, the health-wise. So, again, when I look at the Lakers, we're not talking about a young team here. We're talking about a veteran ball club that's led by arguably the greatest player to ever play the damn game of basketball. Now, what he should be saying is that when guys go out of the lineup, we expect other guys to rise to the occasion and step up, like in Austin Reeves.
And you don't get down by 15 points in the first quarter. You know, so that's okay.
That's the... That, This is why I miss Wendy. Go ahead.
What LeBron said is true. The cohesion is an issue. The injuries are an issue. Of course they're going to struggle if they've got this many guys out. But they've played 8 games, Malika, and they've been down by at least 10 points in the first quarter in 6 of them.
Yeah, NBA history in point differential in the first.
Let me give you some more history that's not good.
Oh, no.
Yes.
They have been outshot at the 3 by the number of 3s and the 3-point percentage in every game so far. It's never happened before in the first 8 games.
Mm.
So they are 28th in offense. They are 30th, I think, now in 3-point shooting. Yes, they are down some players, absolutely. And you go on a 5-game road trip, or I guess it's 4 games at the start of the season, you're going to have some moments, but their execution level has really been poor. And get a defensive rebound. Get a defensive rebound and show some intensity to start the game. I think that would do a lot. The only thing I will say for the Lakers, here's the good news. Last year they started 2-10. So it could be worse.
Yeah, but they started 2-10, and then they made a trade that sort of helped their offense inherently, and they built a team around defense. This feels maybe a little different than
that.
They
ranked 19th in defense so far. Now, the big thing that happened after the trades last year, Malika, you just referenced, they became a great defensive team.
Yeah.
Yes, there was some, getting Russell, getting Vanderbilt helped them in various ways. They were a top 5 defensive team after the trades last year. 19th right now, Perk. And if you're missing some guys, You can defend a little bit. So the Lakers have some health challenges, but they've also got some execution challenges.
Yeah, but you would think that would carry over, right? Going from how they finished last season into the postseason, going to the conference finals, and then having a training camp and, being rejuvenated, right? We saw the life in LeBron, and they were talking about how excited they were to start the season. No one is on their team is actually playing for a contract, right? They signed back all their key guys, and Austin Reeves, Rui, and D'Angelo Russell. So my thing is, again, I'm going to harp on this, Wendy, Malika, that third star.
But they did that with a Russell Westbrook, and it didn't really work out.
They need a third star. We thought it was going to be Austin Reeves. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
The run that Austin Reeves had the last part of the season and in the postseason, we didn't come on here. We didn't say he was him. He said he was him. So he has to show that he's him.
Austin Reeves is better than he's showing right now. Austin Reeves this summer in the World Cup was extremely impressive. I don't think he's being put in the position necessarily where he can succeed, because he succeeds when he's got the ball in his hand. He's starting with Russell and LeBron. Those guys have the ball in their hand. They may need to make a lineup change when they get everybody back to unlock Austin Reeves, but we'll see. That is something I think they can work through.
Yeah.
The other stuff, getting a defensive rebound, that's stuff that, they just need to play harder.
So there's certainly some concerns with L.A. We're going to get back to them a little bit later in the show, but I do want to go to the other Los Angeles team, because the Lakers, they're 0-5 on the road, but James Harden and the Clippers also struggling a little bit on the road. Hey, heads up, Iron Eagle, this one's coming to you.
Oh!
Harden, that's coming my way. I got it. Unbelievable. I could see it from the beginning. Ed, you take over, my friend. That might have been my greatest call in NBA history. I knew it from the second it left his hand.
Iron Eagle is just a national treasure here. All right, 8:40 left. James Harden gets it poked away. The Nets get out in transition here, a feisty Brooklyn Nets team.
And one, young fella. Way to run the floor.
The Nets bench loved that one. Nets again up by 4. Spencer Dinwiddie. Brian, this is his shot. Ivica Zubac closes out.
Yeah, the Nets actually were missing 4 players in this game by the time it was over. This was a bad loss.
Let's take a listen to James Harden.
I'm just trying to wiggle my way in, trying to figure it out. It's okay. It's okay. 2 games, I'll figure it out. I just want to win, so it doesn't matter about the points or, whatever stats. I just want to win games. As long as we can figure it out, we're all competing, we're all playing at the highest level, and we're all winning games, that's all that matters.
first James Harden was ramping up. Now he's trying to wiggle his way in. It's only been two games, but the Clippers, right, they obviously have plenty to figure out here. What concerns do you have?
So their offense was actually running really well before the trade. Not that I thought that they were headed for the championship, but the three-man unit of Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard were the best three-man unit in the NBA on offense before the trade. They make the deal, key rash. And look, Perk, they don't even look like there's any comfort level out there at all. Westbrook takes 18 shots. Harden takes 9. I know it's just one game in November. I'm not going to freak out about that, but, like, that's not moving the right direction. They're going to have a really major retrofit here, and these first two games didn't go well. Neither the Knicks or the Nets had won at home this year, Malika, until the James Harden Clippers came into town. And this was a one that we did not foresee coming. I thought the Clippers were getting this one.
So the Nets were missing Claxton, Ben Simmons.
Cam Thomas left in the game.
Cam Johnson and Cam Thomas left in the game. And Wendy, you know what? You brought up a point about offense. And Malika, you know what? I put these glasses on.
Uh-oh.
It's time for that segment. I saw something and I see something. I'm Kendrick Perkins, better known as Big Perk, and nothing gets past me.
Freeze!
Just when you thought it did get past me, there I am. I spy a problem. I spy it all. Carry the hell on. Yep, one of my favorite segments, because I get to point out what I see in the game, and I have spied a problem. And look, I told Malika this a week ago. I'm going to pray for Ty Lue. You know why? Because the first 5 games of the Clippers season, they were 4th in the NBA. 117.4 in offensive efficiency this season. Then you know what happened after that? Guess what? They made a move for James Harden. Now they're last in the NBA in the last 2 games for his offensive efficiency in this season. So I got a couple clips right here. I want to show you what I saw last night. So look, freeze for a second. Okay, look at the spacing. Look at the spacing. You have Zubac, Kawhi, Paul George. He draws 3. Kawhi Leonard is over here doing jumping jacks. Doesn't receive the pass. That is bad offense. It's something that Ty Lue is going to have to figure out. Okay, right here. Kawhi is calling for the ball in the corner. James Harden do what he does best, throwing a lazy pass. Kawhi is open again at the top of the key. Kawhi is the opportunity. James Harden tries to show the world that he still got his Houston Rocket bag. And guess what? A missed shot attempt. You look off the best player on the team. This is a problem. They're going to have to solve it. Otherwise, it's going to be a disaster. I already believe it's going to be a disaster in the making. But unless T. Lue find a way to get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George the ball and get the others to sacrifice, I don't know what to tell you.
The Clippers still looking for that first road win. Perk, I always love when you spy something. Still to come on NBA Today. I think we can all agree, though, the Nuggets, right? The best team in the West. But who's right behind them? The Wolves. They look pretty, pretty, pretty good, Perk.
Good reference.
Plus, a team that is getting healthier could be in the conversation now that Bradley Beal is back on the court. Does his return make the Suns the real deal? We discuss. And we also had an early look at a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup. Are the Sixers proving to the world that they should be in championship talks already? NBA Today will be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash, shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
To the veterans and the troops, thank you for everything that you do. Y'all don't get enough credit, but I'm so very grateful. We wouldn't be able to be who we are and be in this country without y'all. I'm forever grateful. Thank you so very much.
Welcome back to NBA Today. It's time to go coast to coast. This one's a Western Conference edition. We're going to start in Denver, where the past two champs, they squared off. The Nuggets, they defeated the Warriors. This is a great game. 108-105 behind 35 points, 13 rebounds, and a cool 5 assists from Nikola Jokic. The Nuggets have improved to 8-1. That is tied for their best start through 9 games in franchise history. So, Brian, Nuggets, the clear-cut favorite in your eyes?
Malika, they've played 9 games. How many times has Nikola Jokic gone for 20 and 10? The answer is 9. Yes, clear-cut favorites.
9 times. And it's so pedestrian at this point. It's like, yeah, of course Nikola Jokic is doing Jokic.
Not averaging
things.
Every game. Every game.
Sanity. All right, let's move on to Dallas. The Mavs, they were defeated by the Raptors 127-116. Scottie Barnes, he's been looking good lately. The first player in Raptors history to average 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists through the first 8 games of a season. Luka had 30 in the loss, but Perk, the Mavs, they still sit at second in the West. Do you think, come playoff time, they'll have home court advantage?
Absolutely not. I mean, I think they will make the postseason, but they won't have home court advantage. They'll drop off, but Luka is so great that he will have them into the postseason.
Kyrie Irving said that Jason Kidd called the team soft yesterday, and that really stuck with them. All right, the Timberwolves improved to 5-0 at home for the first time in franchise history after defeating the Pelicans 122-101. The Wolves have won 4 straight. 3 of those have been by 20-plus points, and that was just soft on the side. Brian, the Wolves, are they legit?
They have wins over both the Nuggets and the Celtics. They're number one defense in the league right now, and Ant is box office.
Must see TV this young man every single night. Anthony Edwards flying high, and the joy that he exudes, also so much fun to watch. All right, fellas, one more for you. Bradley Beal made his Suns debut, scoring 13 points in 24 minutes. KD had 25 as well. Phoenix won the game in overtime, 116-115, thanks to Jusuf Nurkić, a game-winning layup here. Still no book in this one, but Perk, how dangerous can the Suns team be when they're fully healthy, you think?
So dangerous that they actually can win the Western Conference. But can we actually see them healthy? I think Nurkić is finally starting to find himself. He had a monster night last night. Beal, first time touching the floor. They'll be fine once they get healthy, though.
Sounds like Book could be coming back around the corner here. Here's a look at how the West standings are shaken out, though, with the seeds 2 through 8 separated by just 2 games, as you can see on your screen here. So I think we all agree, right? The Nuggets are picking up right where they left off from last season. They're the favorites. But Brian, starting with you, the second best team in the West is who?
I'm sticking with the Suns, which is what I said at the start of the season.
Okay.
Obviously, there's some teams with some upward mobility. I think when the Suns are together, if they're healthy, that offensive firepower and their depth will develop, that they have a chance to do it. Now, last night, they were so lucky, Perk, to get out of this game with
the ball. Yeah, that DeMar DeRozan. I was like, it's going in!
Yeah, I mean, they only made 2 baskets in the last, like, 8 minutes of this game, including overtime. Now, they made some free throws, and somehow Nurkić got that ball up there in that last 10 seconds to get that last basket. But Beal looked a little bit creaky, but I still believe that this team's high end has got them as the biggest challenger to the Nuggets.
Well, guess what? On NBA Today, I don't have to live in the past, and I don't have to live in the future. I'm living in the now.
Okay.
The Timberwolves are standing on business right now, led by Anthony Edwards. So if you asking me today who is the second best team behind the Nuggets, I'm going with the Minnesota Timberwolves. When I'm looking at what the kid McDaniels is bringing on both sides of the floor, Anthony Edwards is going to make – he's an all-NBA player this season. I believe that. And he's going to finish in the top 4 as MVP vote.
He has 195 points this season, the most by a Timberwolves player through the team's first 7 games of a season in franchise.
And Rudy Gobert. People can say what they want. He's been balling out, anchoring that defense, finishing around the basket, grabbing rebounds. And look, Naz Reid, when he comes in off that bench, the spark, the offensive explosion that he brings, the rebounding, the tenacity, I'm rocking with these Timberwolves.
One more, Mike Conley.
Well, keep going.
30 assists One turnover so far this season, Malika.
Ooh.
30-1. That's
like
pretty
Tyrese Maxey numbers.
Chris Paul, he's like, oh man, I'm pretty good, but I'm not 30-1.
Right. Well, we get to see those two teams face off next week. Still to come on NBA Today, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, speaking of, continued their early season tear by beating the Celtics. Have they proved enough to be legitimate championship contenders this season? We discuss. And it was Dame time in Milwaukee once again last night. How he got it done late in the fourth quarter without Giannis Antetokounmpo, plus an unbelievable stat that I'm not so sure Bucks fans are going to be happy about. Also, Victor Wembanyama, he struggled in his Madison Square Garden debut. Austin Rivers is here talking about what he can do to look to build off of that game. You're watching NBA Today.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching NBA Today.
All right, the two best teams in the East, they faced off last night, Boston and Philadelphia. The Sixers coming in on a 5-game winning streak to this one. Let's take a look at how it went down. Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, you've been singing their praises, Perk.
Oh, look at the spin move. Disrespectful by the Boston Celtics. Put Drew Holiday on him. Mouse in the house, take that.
Yeah, but you know what? It kind of worked.
Spins, throws it down. This is later in the first quarter.
Not on
here.
That play.
Embiid going to work once again. The Sixers have just been clicking in this one.
Monster on the boards. I'm telling you, Joel Embiid is playing like he got something to prove. Give me that.
Tyrese Maxey, there have been questions about who would fill the shoes of James Harden once he was departed. It has been Tyrese.
Well, I tell you what, James Harden ain't blocking shots like that. And James Harden ain't bringing that type of motor.
What a way to end the first half. Tyrese Maxey trying to run up the floor. He's like, folks, get out of my way. I'm trying to take a victory lap. But in the fourth quarter, this game got good, Brian.
Absolutely. This game really came down to a few different possessions. That was what they needed from Embiid last time they played there in game 6 last year. But he'll get another chance at it.
Backs down. Jason Tatum elevates and gets that one to go. Embiid had 27 points, 10 rebounds in this one, but still a 3-point game. Kristaps Porzingis, he's at the hot hand.
Clean look.
He was leaning into that one.
Just a little bit short. The Sixers hang on to win 106-103. Here's Joel Embiid after the game.
I think it's, a lot of credit to the culture that we have. No one has an ego on this team. We got new guys, we took them in, we got them up to speed. I think guys, the fact that guys want to, play with each other and, they like being around each other, I think it helps a lot too.
So Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, they're now the second pair of teammates in NBA history to average 25 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists through 7 games in a season, joining Steph Curry and Kevin Durant in 2018-19. So we talked about this a little bit in the highlight, but there were some big question marks about this team, what they would do in the absence of James Harden, right? What did they prove to you last night? Did they prove that they're contenders, Brian?
Well, it's still early to make that declaration, but as the kids say, the vibes are immaculate. Did you hear what he was saying there, like everybody likes each other.
The culture is there.
Might be a little coded language there. He might be talking about somebody without actually talking about it.
It was shots fired.
Look, here's what I'm going to say. Joel is happy. I don't know. If people were all worried what was going to happen with Harden. Joel is happy. Yeah. Maxey's playing good. Nick Nurse has everybody feeling good in their roles. They've got depth perk. They've got trade assets later on. They're feeling good. Nobody would have predicted this a month ago when they were out in Colorado and nobody knew whether Harden was going to show up or going to play. Look where they are now. Yeah, they'll have some more adversity. Yeah, they may have to tweak this roster a little bit, but they are exactly where they could, where they would want to be.
With a hell of a coach, Tobias Harris is averaging 19 points.
He has a new lease on life.
Yes, shooting 60% from the field.
Pat Beverly playing good off the bench.
Absolutely, being the leader. But here's the thing. We could talk and we could hype up and we could harp and give praises to Embiid and Maxey about their offense, and rightfully so. But it's the defense for me, both of them. Embiid had 4 blocks last night. But Tyrese Maxey, the things he does on the defensive end. Right here. Look, go and get this. Jrue Holiday not giving up on the play. The high motor. The speed. Right here. Okay, Jaylen Brown, you want to try to bully me? I'm taking all that contact. Getting the offensive foul call. Verticality. Right? On Derrick White. Two-handed block shot. So, I mean, like, this is what this young fella brings to the table, and you can just feel it. But kudos to Nick Nurse, because even yesterday when we saw Shanae bringing up, she was breaking down her cheat sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And when Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey are running that high pick and roll, it's starting at half court. You know why? Because when Tyrese Maxey is coming downhill with that speed, you know, it's just hard to stop for any big in the league. So kudos to Nick Nurse to keeping the locker room a sanctuary, keeping the chemistry together, and making sure that his big fella is happy right now, because he's damn sure playing like
6 in a row for the 76ers. I do want to check out another Eastern Conference contender, though, the Bucks. They hosted the Pistons last night, and it went a little bit haywire here in the third quarter. Watch Giannis. So he's driving on Isaiah Stewart, throws it down, gives him, is it the too small and the stare down, or is that him asking why? So this was his second technical foul.
He said, get out.
And he said, you're gone. Well, Giannis wasn't thrilled about this. Had a little discussion with the refs. He actually sat down courtside before he exited the game. Here's how it looked to the fan sitting next to him. Giannis, he would head to the locker room. His fifth career suspension.
Stop the highlight. Stop. You know, that was embarrassing, okay, first off. But you know, I got a word of the day, Malik.
It was embarrassing that he was issued the tech or that the display?
It was embarrassing that he was issued the tech.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, you know, I was trying to figure out a word of a day, you know what I mean, and come up with something, but I couldn't really say what I wanted to say on national TV. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm doing the emoji. Emoji of the day. That's the emoji
of the day.
That's
a real hot one.
Yeah,
too.
No, it is. Angry. It is, because that's how I feel. Because there's nowhere in hell that a superstar, we're talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo, really, superstar is an understatement. He's a megastar. And this is the passion, right, that you want to see guys playing with. He just threw down a thunderous dunk on somebody. Like, fans are paying their hard-earned money to come see Giannis Antetokounmpo play and do those type of things. Like, as a ref, you cannot do that. Let me tell y'all something. I played with so many Hall of Famers. I played, you know, if you can only imagine what KG and Shaq and Paul, those guys then said to referees and not get kicked out of the game and not pick up a technical foul.
Yeah.
And for Giannis to get kicked out because of this.
By the letter of the law, it is taunting, but I don't mind a little bit of taunting. I think that's what makes the game fun. I appreciate that quick word or quick emoji.
It was an emoji.
The vibes are immaculate, as Brian Windhorst would say. Back to the highlight here, though, because it was Dame time down the stretch.
There's no such thing as having too many star players. And what you got right here, Malika, is superstar redundancy. And that's what they had. Dame with, I believe, 18 fourth quarter points.
That's correct. Damian Lillard went to work, put the Bucks on his back when they needed him most. This is what they brought him in for, to be that closer. Obviously, we saw Chris Middleton step into that role the other night, but it's kind of nice to see that Dame can do it too.
Yeah, look, they have some issues, especially defensively, but for them to win this game, by the way, the Pistons did some stuff in this game. Cade Cunningham, Marcus Sasser were awesome. But to win this game with no Chris Middleton, with Giannis getting ejected 3 minutes in the second half, That was Dame doing Dame stuff.
Yeah, to your point, he outscored the Pistons by himself, right, over the final 9.5 minutes of the game. This stretch started with Milwaukee trailing by 8 before coming back to win the game ultimately. So I want to get a little bit of a different perspective on this game. Let's get Aaron's angle. We have our ESPN betting analyst, Aaron Dolan, joining the show now. Aaron, the Bucks, they improved to 5-2, and that looks good on the surface, right? But what caught your attention with this team?
Well, from a betting perspective, Malika, they have yet to cover the spread this season. They're 0-6-1 against the spread. So bettors are not too happy about that. But for tonight's matchup, something I want to note is the fact that they opened as a 4-point favorite. It's all the way down to -2.5. And on top of that, you see a high total, 241.5. So maybe you look at some player props, specifically the overs. But again, going back to the fact that they have not covered, I mean, it's the first time since the 2014-15 season that we've been seeing this. And on top of that, if you look at the last 20 seasons, 7 teams have started out 0-7, at least 0-7 against the spread to start the season, and none of them made the conference finals. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen for the Bucks,
right,
but something to think about.
But that's what history is telling us. Aaron, thank you so very much. All right, still to come on NBA Today, is it time for alarm bells in Los Angeles? The Clippers, the Lakers, they have both lost 3 straight. They have 0 wins on the road. Is there any hope in sight? We're going to answer that next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
The Lakers. They fell to 3-5 after a blowout loss to the Rockets on Wednesday. They are winless on the road. Now, Anthony Davis, he did not play in that game because of spasms in his left hip, but our Dave McMenamin reported the Lakers are hopeful that Davis is going to play in the final game of their road trip on Friday. So now we welcome in the aforementioned Dave McMenamin. Dave, you were on the road with the Lakers for this entire trip. As the losses continued to pile on, what did you notice?
Like, I looked around the locker room on the road in Houston, and you see LeBron at his locker. You see Anthony Davis at his locker in street clothes. And then you see a bunch of G League players. Mm. The Lakers are so depleted right now. They have all of their two-way player contracts with them on this trip, and they haven't necessarily used them, but they're missing 4 out of their top 8 or 9 guys in their rotation. And when you are that far depleted, you need warm bodies just in case you get into foul trouble,
right,
or et cetera, to put guys like that in. And when the Lakers have been closer to whole, they haven't looked all that great either. I mean, in fact, in some areas, they've been historically bad.
Historically bad. Yeah, no disrespect to Alex Fudge, right? But this is a Lakers team that's trying to go back to the Western Conference Finals, if not further. But you said historically bad. How so?
Well, start with the first quarters. Through 8 games, they've been outscored by 74 points in the first quarter. That's basically spotting every opponent 10 points to start the game and then having to claw their way back. That's the worst in NBA history through 8 games. And then what was something we talked about all summer long? The Lakers trying to address 3-point shooting because we know that LeBron James thrives with shooters around him. Well, also through 8 games, every single one of those 8 games, their opponent has made more threes than the Lakers have, and their opponent has shot a better percentage from the 3-point line than the Lakers has. That's never happened before either in NBA history. So they are really just looking bad in all sorts of ways beyond injuries right now.
Those are all the ways that they do not want to be standing out. We'll see if they can correct it on Friday against the Suns. Dave McMenamin, thank you for spending some time with us here on NBA Today. So the Lakers and Clippers, they're both winless outside of L.A. this season, combined 0-9 road record. That makes them two of the five winless teams in the NBA thus far this season. As we say hello to our new teammate, Austin Rivers, our new NBA analyst here at ESPN. And Austin, you know a thing or two about Los Angeles. Is there a team that you're more concerned about between the Lakers and the Clippers?
Malika, it has to be the Los Angeles Clippers right now. For me, when you look at them as a whole, it's hard to see how they can be functional going forward, especially deep into the playoffs. They have four superstars and four guys who are used to being the man on their team. Who's going to be the spacer? Who's going to be the hustle guy? Who's going to be the guy that rebounds? Who's going to be the guy that, you know, boxes out and takes essentially a back seat? And it can't just be one of them. It has to be multiple guys. You watched that game last night, and I'm not even talking about the turnovers because it's going to be a little bit sloppy in the beginning. They don't have camaraderie. They don't have chemistry. They've only played two games, both of which are in New York, which is a place filled with distractions anyway, so there's a lot going on. But just in terms of long term, how does this team become a team? You know, and it just seems like right now, in terms of spacing, I do have concerns, especially going forward and making a run into the playoffs. They're going to have guys step up and take a back seat and honestly just not be who they were their whole career.
Right.
It's going to be a big change.
Right, because when you say who's the guy, that point is well received. Despite playing five less minutes than James Harden, Russell Westbrook took twice as many shots. He also took more shots than Kawhi Leonard. Is that what's sustainable for this team? I don't know. Austin Rivers, please do not go too far. We need you a little bit later in the show. But Perk, I ask you the same question. Is there someone you're more concerned about?
I agree with Austin. I mean, just because before the Clippers got James Harden, they were already a championship contender type team. Like, they already checked all the boxes. And so when I think about them right now, again, I'm going back to their personnel just don't look great, right? They got too many Chiefs, not enough Indians, meaning you have James Harden who need the ball in his hands. You have Russell Westbrook, he need the ball in his hands. You have Bones Hollins, you have Mann. Like, all of those guys need the ball in their hands. But when you had a guy like Nicholas Batum, a guy that does the dirty work, a guy that can rebound, a guy that could guard multiple positions, a guy that's going to stand in the corner and play his role and knock down corner threes, now all of a sudden, you asking basically four future Hall of Famers to take a lesser role. And the reason that James, like, is in the position that he's in right now, the man averaged 20 and 10 last season.
Right.
And that wasn't good enough for him. So how do we expect him to take a lesser role now?
You don't think time will help with that?
No. It hasn't helped over the last couple of years.
Fair enough. Brian?
A stripes on a zebra never change.
Right. He's also got to worry about his contract. He wants to play well to get his contract.
Right.
Reason I'm worried about the Lakers is because they came into this season with a plan. And they sort of announced their plan, and it didn't sound bad, but it hasn't really been working out. Mm. You know, when you look at what Darvin Ham talked about right out of the gates this season, he was like, we're going to get our minutes down because we're going to be so much deeper. Well, AD's been leading the league in minutes, and LeBron James, until he sat out the last part of the game yesterday to bring his average down, LeBron was averaging more minutes than he was last year. I know some of that has to do with injuries, but it's still not a good sign. The other thing is they wanted to play with size. That's why they went out and signed Christian Wood. They went out and signed Jackson Hayes. They haven't been able to do that. Vanderbilt's been hurt. Those other guys have been hurt. They're getting crushed on the boards, Malika. They're getting absolutely destroyed on the offensive boards. And then the way they wanted to play, that five-out scheme, putting Anthony Davis on the outside, that's the way they played a lot when they won the championship a couple years ago. Remember what Darvin Ham said about Anthony Davis wanting him to take five, six, seven threes? You know how many he's averaging? One. He's averaging 1 3-point attempt per game, less than he did last year. And their overall 3-point shooting, which that's supposed to space out the five out,
right,
they're dead last. So look, we're 8 games in. We have 10% of the season. It's not the end of the world. But their plans have all been falling short. So they need to go back to the drawing board, not just get healthy. They may need to reevaluate how they want to, you know, have a night-on-night game plan.
Right, because they've already sort of diverged from where they said they wanted to start the season. We talked about how much depth this team has, not to mention that coming into the year. That depth has been tested early, and it just hasn't come to fruition. We're not even 10 games in yet, so we're not pressing any panic buttons, but we'll see. The inaugural NBA in-season tournament, it rolls on tomorrow night. Another group stage doubleheader here. The Nets taking on the Celtics at 7:30 Eastern, and then KD and the Suns host the Lakers. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app.
Oh, we got action.
We got action. And so did Victor Wembanyama. We're going to take a trip to Madison Square Garden. We're going to show you the highlights, but we're also going to examine what Wemby needs to fix to become elite in the NBA. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With the first pick, the San Antonio Spurs select Victor Wembanyama.
I'm a damn Spurs.
I was born to do things differently.
I know I got a lot to show.
We some different breeds and I stand on it. Yeah. Add it up, shooting threes and I slam on it. Slam. Please do not reach, I got wingspan on it. Half court, we shooting shots like we wild. Run all my highlights, back to back to slow motion.
I'm just freestyling.
Victor Wembanyama, he has been great his first 2 weeks in the NBA. But then he had a little bit of a rough night in Madison Square Garden in his debut in the world's most famous arena. So here's Victor, his first trip during shoot-around. He was talking about how he wasn't intimidated by the size of MSG, getting off some quick threes there, couldn't get him to fall in the first half. He was 0 for 5. This is the first time he hasn't made a field goal in a half in his career thus far. Meanwhile, the Knicks, they're rolling. Jalen Brunson, the three, you bet.
Look Brunson at the again. Ball movement. Beautiful.
Remember your first game at MSG Park? Those lights are bright.
Yeah.
They were bright for Victor Wembanyama. We're going to pick this one up in the third quarter again now. Wembanyama gets it. Sizing up Isaiah Hartenstein, elevates, finally gets one to go, Brian.
Yeah, he looked uncomfortable in this. He maybe not admit that, but he looked a little bit out of his element in the first half of this game.
He's been that way, though. He's been finding his stride later in games. You can see there, but this one was just elevated even more.
Yeah, that happened a little bit in France last year. He'd wait till the fourth quarter, but Jalen Brunson doesn't wait.
Jalen Brunson did not wait. He finished with a game-high 25 points. The Knicks, they beat the Spurs 126-105 to improve to 4-4 in Victor's Madison Square Garden debut. He finishes with 14 points. Here's Greg Popovich.
This is a growing experience for Victor. I mean, to come into place.
Well, of course it is. He's a 19-year-old rookie who's just learning about the NBA. Of course it's a learning experience.
We're learning, and I mean, as a young team and any team really, we're going to go through losing streaks someday during the season through tough times, and it's going to happen, but the most important is how we bounce back.
Welcoming back Austin Rivers. And Austin, Victor, he's had high expectations every single night he steps on the floor. Obviously, he's only 8 games into his career, and off nights, they are inevitable. I actually think it speaks to how highly we think of Victor, that we expect so much from him. But what do you think is the biggest reason for the off night that he had?
For me, it's just the way he started the game. You know, his first shot, 20 seconds into the game, he launches a three, running right into it. Victor has to understand where his spots are on the floor, how he can get himself going. His best game so far is when he's worked inside out. Last night, he comes right out the gate launching a three. His second shot, a fadeaway air ball. His third shot, another three. he has to realize that he is the tallest, most, the longest player on the floor every night he goes out there. And when he uses his size and uses that to dominate the game and get a feel for the game, especially his free throws, he made all of which, by the way, that's what gets him a rhythm. And these are the things that he's going to learn. Like he said, he's 19, it's a lot. He was doing a lot in New York while he was there. And he'll get more and more comfortable as the season goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. Austin, thank you. We're going to see you out here in Los Angeles next week as Victor looks to bounce back here. I want to bring it back to the panel. Brian, I do want to get your thoughts here on Victor's night last night. You've covered him as closely as anybody.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. He really wants to be a three-point shooter, and I do think he can develop into a three-point shooter. He's shooting 29% on threes. He was 0-4 last night. This is what happened last year, Perk. He sometimes in the French League would settle for the three-pointer, and he was a 30% shooter in the French League last year. What he was able to do so well was get to the line in the French League. Now, he's open that much for a reason, because the scouting report is already coming out. Go ahead and let him take those threes. Don't let those teams off the hook. Put the ball on the floor. Make them put you on the line.
You know what? When I think about Victor last night, it was the physicality for the Knicks, right? So you do need to take a page out of Giannis' book. And we know how Giannis came into the league, put on, what, over 50 pounds of muscle. I think when it comes down to Victor, his thing is that he need to, one, be a big man that has guard skills, right? And he has that. But play inside first. And the only way he's going to be able to do that is to continue to punish the weight room, continue to work on his body, and he's going to be fine. We already know what his ceiling is. He don't really have a ceiling. But that's my advice to him.
Yeah, just a little bit of a rough week. 3 of 12 on Monday against Indiana, 4 of 14 on Wednesday against the Knicks, and now he needs to look to bounce back. Perk, I hear you got a new segment.
Do I?
Yeah. Who stood on business? He needs more segments. We're going to tell you about Perk's new segment in 60 seconds.
Remember when I walked in here today? Remember what I told you what our MO is today? We standing on business. Standing on business. I need you to stand on business. We still standing on business. I need you to stand on business. Hey, Adam Silver, you standing on business. The message tonight is the 76ers. And damn it, they got to stand on business. Richard, you're not a part of this, because damn it, I'm standing on business even more. Bam! Go ahead, Malika.
Nine times we've counted that you proclaimed, you channeled your inner Drewski, and you stood on business yesterday. So we thought there were so many teams that were standing on business yesterday. Who stood out to you?
Oh, Jokic and the Nuggets. They stood on business.
There's another one.
And they've been standing on business all season long. When you think about them at home, right? Think about the Nuggets at home right now, undefeated. Jokic is playing outstanding MVP-level basketball. Matter of fact, he's the best player in the world. No Jamal Murray, no problem. The depth, Reggie Jackson filled in. He come in, he played phenomenal last night. The Nuggets stood on business against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Standing on business.
Well, my team that stood on business was the Oklahoma City Thunder, who gave it to the Cleveland Cavs.
Can I just say, I've heard Brian today say a honey bun, stand on business, for the culture.
Yeah, immaculate vibes there in Oklahoma City. How about Shea Gildas-Alexander? By the way, special shout out to Chet Holmgren, who he's only going 50-50-90 on his shooting splits this year. But this was all about Shea, Malika. Standing on business, Perk. Standing on business. Look at these two guys. Shea had 40-something last night. Holmgren off to a great start. Look at that. 17-8. 3 assists, 3 blocks. And he's having a great year. We're looking at Victor for a reason. I get it. We should give him the attention. How about Chet Holmgren?
Shea averaging 34 in wins this season.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, but what about the 76ers? I think that was the game of the night. Two Eastern Conference Titans going head-to-head. Jason Tatum and the Celtics, the 76ers. We called this a litmus test game over and over again to see, okay, can they prove it? Can they prove they belong? They lost the Milwaukee Bucks early with the James Harden cloud still hanging over their head. Then they played some beat-up teams, some maybe teams that we don't expect to be the caliber of team they're going to need to beat to get to where they want to go.
What did they?
And what you just did on that stage?
All I'm saying is the 76ers, they stood on business. That's going to do it for our show. The motto of the day. We'll see you tomorrow.